Night. Got your money ready? Well, you're going to need. Hi, I'm Joel Blumberg with the WGBB Sports Break. Adam is not here. He's out picking up soda bottles, like 50 million of them, because he wants to buy a book from our special guest tonight. He's going to need a lot of time to do it and a lot more time to read it.
Welcome to the WGBB Sports Break, sponsored by Harbor Links in Port Washington, where great golf is par for the course, and by Borelli, serving great Italian food since 1955. And now the hosts of Sports Break, Joel Blumberg and Adam Geller.
And good evening, everybody, on a Tuesday night. Got your money ready? Well, you're going to need it, because tonight our special guests are two gentlemen we're going to be talking to from Germany. Their names are Michael Flannery and Richard Leach, and if you're looking for a gift for the guy or the girl that's got everything and you got big bucks, or you want to take a third mortgage out on your house, go for it. We'll talk to them in just a moment. First, our sponsors, Laserland, 211A Voice Road in Carl Place. Now, this is holiday gift-giving season, and if you're looking for the proper gift, if you're looking for someone who has a video or is a video file or a movie buff, well, you got to get yourself over to Laserland, 211A Voice Road and Carl Place. You know, Laserland and DVDs almost are together, because right now, at this point, DVDs are going to take over as far as video media is concerned. Very few people are making videotapes anymore. And believe it or not, I've seen DVD players for as low as $50. And if you want the best selection of DVDs in New York, I'm going to go that far and say it, you have to go to Laserland. They're located 211A Voice Road in Carl Place. They are just north of the Long Island Railroad overpass on Wolf of Voice Road. I should say off of Glen Cove Road between Old Country Road and Jericho Turnpike. And, hey, if it ain't on DVD, or if it is on DVD, you will find it at Laserland. If you can't find it at Laserland, if they can't get it for you, then it's just not made on DVD. You got to check them out. Can't get over there? Give them a call, 516-746-3147. And check out the knowledgeable sales staff there. They'll lead you in the proper direction. They could talk movies with you. If you're undecided on what you want, they could give you some good avenues to explore. Laserland, 211A Voice Road in Carl Place, 516-746-3147. Looking for a great place to eat? Maybe if you've got a local business on Long Island in the East Meadow, Merrick, Belmore area, you're looking for a good place to make a party? Better place? There is none than Borelli. They're located very centrally, just off the Meadowbrook Parkway on Hempstead Turnpike, just a little bit west of Merrick Avenue, across from the Marriott Hotel, across from the Nassau Coliseum, up the road from Fordham and Adelphi. They've been in business since 1955. 48 years. That's right. And they do it because they give you service, they give you great food, and they just give you a great atmosphere to eat in. And if you're looking for a place to have that holiday party and you're in the local area, what better place? EAB Plaza. Borelli's in East Meadow, right around the corner from you, serving great Italian food since 1955. And if you're looking for a great holiday gift for that golfer person of yours, and you're not going to find the book from our next guest, I've got to tell you that. You're going to find that's only available by mail order. But if you're looking to give a golfer lesson, maybe some golf balls, maybe a new club, well, you got to go over to Harbor Links. Well, they're not playing golf right now. Obviously, the weather is not conducive to playing golf. But gift-giving certainly is, and if you're looking for a couple of lessons for someone who wants to improve come the summertime or the springtime, you want to get a good club, you want to get something maybe extra special, you want to pay good prices, you don't just want to get from a salesman. If you buy a piece of equipment and you're spending $300 or $400, you want to get it fit. You want to get it measured and fit properly. Well, the way to go is Harbor Links. 516-767-4800, 516-767-4800. Harbor Links at Port Washington, great golf gift-giving is par for the course there. Welcome back to the WGBB Sports Break on a Tuesday night. And we have a very, very special guest on the line with us from a little town just outside of Frankfurt, Germany, are Michael Flannery and Richard Leach. Now, if you're looking for a gift for the guy who has everything, for the guy who has everything, or for the golfer who has everything, or for the collector who has everything, they do not have this, and quite frankly, they should have. It is a collector's coffee table book. It's called Golf Through the Ages, 600 Years of Golfing Out, by my two guests, Michael Flannery and Richard Leach. And gentlemen, first of all, welcome to the Sports Break. It is really a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. We're delighted to have contact across the Atlantic and find that the awareness of the book has already traversed the big pond. We've been at it a long time, and we'll be delighted to share the pleasure of what we've done with your audience.
Well, first of all, my first question would be then, talk about how I can't describe the book other than it is the most magnificent, well-illustrated, well-researched golf book or book of any kind on its subject that I've ever seen. Number one, guys, and I'll start with you, Michael, what made you decide to do this? And after that, talk about the work that went in to putting this book together.
Well, Joel, it was basically, I'm a born American, and I played golf here. I first played golf and caddied as a kid right here in the Frankfurt area in the dark ages of 1950. When I came back to Germany years ago running an ad agency, I realized that no one had ever done a definitive history of golf in Germany. And when I looked around, the old pros and the big names of golf as I knew it as a kid had either disappeared from the scene or were vanishing. And I decided that it was not too late to start writing about the golf in Germany. But that turned out to be a first step. Richard Leach came into the shop one day, of all things. I'm an antique dealer and an antique golf dealer. And Richard came wandering in by chance one day when I'd been working on the book for a while and didn't know exactly what sort of direction it was going to take, and said, what are you doing? And we went on with it. And step by step, it worked its way out of Germany, where the documentation has been on the ground, back into the history of golf. And one of the first questions he ever asked me is, Michael, how do you know that? And I said, well, Richard, that's when Stephen Van Hengel wrote it in his book. And he said, no, that's not good enough. You've got to check the sources. So step by step, we moved back and checked all of the sources that had been recorded in golf history to date. They turned out to be legend and mythology. And as we moved back in time, we began to discover that golf really evolved from a series of fascinating, very early European ball games that no one had ever researched. Their key problem being the fact that they didn't have any language other than English. So we ended up with a whole series of absolutely spectacular pictures of ball games that were unknown, no one could explain them, and attempted to put them in a context which showed how golf had been formed long, long, long ago, long before it arrived in Scotland, and we found there was a really systematic progressive connection to that. Now let me pass you over just a second to Richard, Joel, and let him pick up the ball on just the chronological progression and the picture aspect of the book. Hello?
Yes, Richard, why don't you continue?
Continue, yes, fine. Now Michael has stated the day clearly. You started off with a rather prosaic history of golf as played in Germany, and then discovered, looking at all the pictures, looking at the references, that this history of games, European ball and club games, went back to the 12th century, back to 1120, with a wonderful picture that we have in the book on the first page of my prelude, which is the French cup playing what looks like a game of rounders or softball. And then over the centuries, the links with what appeared to be a golf game, which had over centuries been misinterpreted, and it was errors of misinterpretation that we picked up on and proved that these early games were really the foundation for modern golf as played in Scotland today. Michael, of course, is an expert on modern golf. I like to get my teeth into the history, the the book is the result. It turned out to be a perfect vehicle for the imagery that went with the documentation. And it's, of course, the first time that it's been done. The pictures that we have, as you can see, page one right through to the end of the book, are quite stunning. And the beauty of them is for us that approximately 40%, I would say, have never been published. And if they have been published, they certainly have never been published accurately and rendered in the wonderful color and the wonderful printing that has been done, incidentally, here in Germany, in Karlsruhe, which is not too far south of Frankfurt. And Germany, of course, has great printers. And we had the privilege of working very closely with them on the Heidelberg Speedmasters, which is state-of-the-art. And you have the result in front of you. And it makes for a very entertaining, even if you're not an academic armchair golfer, it makes, I think, for wonderably entertaining and quite, I mean, it's the vivid immediacy of this wonderful pictorial record that is quite stunning. It knocks you over when you see it page after page with a certain chronology that you can start right at the very beginning with football, like English football of all things, which we call school, and recorded in, appeared in the Gloucester Cathedral. This is one of the very first pictures in the book, I think it's figure 5. And it goes on through football being played in Europe, in Italy, where it was well at home, and then on to the more obscure games of golf, which was the earliest form of golf, and was misconstrued in Scotland as being golf, but it's actually called golf. I think at that point, if I pass it over to Michael, he will tell you a little more about the cross, because it was a highly dangerous game. It produced all sorts of deaths and fatalities in its playing in cities throughout Europe, and was always being banned. I mean, the Pope and the monarchs just loved to ban it and tell the people to get on with doing something useful, like a drawing of an arrow. So let me pass it on to Michael.
Well, Michael, before we continue with this, the one question I want to ask you, and I think it's important right now because I want to repeat this several times during the course of the interview. This book, which is not an inexpensive book, it is a collector's item book, and we'll get into the pricing structure in just a minute. But where, what is the availability of the book? How do you go about purchasing it?
Yes, the book can be ordered online. It's available through Golf Through the Ages as a website, and there are instructions for that. It can be ordered directly from the publisher. The publisher is Golf Link Press, and Golf Link Press are in Fairfield, Iowa. Or, well, for your American audiences, it would really be the two things. They can order online at a very special price, as you know, or they can order via Golf Link Press Limited, PO Box 1072 in Fairfield, Iowa, 52556. We take care of the European market in the same way. People either can order from us directly here, or they can place their order in the United States.
Now, just to give you some idea of the pricing structure, there are two editions. There were three, from what I understand, but your first edition is sold out. There is an Imperial edition and there is a Royal edition. The Imperial edition of the book is limited to 150 copies. It is Roman numeral 1 to CL, which is 150. You've each signed it. And it goes for, right now, the special price is $2,500. Until the date of publication, when the price will go up to $3,000. There's the Royal Edition, which is limited to 1,999 copies. It's numbered in Arabic, also signed by the authors of beautiful, this is the book I saw, quarter leather binding, and it's a slipcase, a beautiful slipcase. That is now available for $750 until the book publication, which the price will increase to $950. And by the way, There is a phone number, 800-449-4097, 800-449-4097, to order Golf Through the Ages or visit them, as Michael said, www.golfthroughtheages.com. And I know you're thinking out there, $2,500 for a book, $750 for a book. If you are a collector, which Michael obviously is, as a man dealing in antiques, if you are a collector and you know anything about value of books in this era, it is a tremendous, if not for anything, it's an investment. But if you are a golfer and you are a collector, this is something you must have. We're talking with Michael Flannery and Richard Leach, authors, and it's more than that, Golf Through the Ages. And you were telling us about the 13 years and the effort that went into producing this book.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Joel. We began without having any model that we could base our book on. It's completely original. The research has never been done before. We actually ended up with a selected bibliography of some 1,500 titles in eight languages, including Danish, French, German, Greek, Latin, and so on, simply to find the material that appears in the book in English. We don't torture anybody with long phrases in an exotic language that nobody's going to pick up on. So the basic material is totally original. The interpretation of the game and how golf began, its early roots in the game played in continental Europe, as Richard said, from the 12th century on. Our earliest image is actually 1120. And these are, Richard made the point that about 40% are unknown. It's probably many, many more than that, but let's be conservative. We showed the book to the foremost, one of the foremost art experts in Europe, and he simply recognized absolutely none of the pictures in the book. So it's going to be a real visual surprise and an enormous pleasure to the reader.
How did golf get its name, Michael? We were talking about that the other day. How did the game of golf get its name?
Well, it came through a series of evolutions. We called in the best experts we could find in costume art, in medieval art, in Renaissance art. The sports historians have also played a significant role. We called in the etymologist to find out the basis of the word itself. And here's what the finest minds in that area have told us. They basically trace the word back, golf, back to kolbe and keule, which are two old German nouns to describe a curved club. So that's the essence of it. But in the course of the evolution that Richard and I lay out roughly chronologically, with a high point in Brookline, Massachusetts in 1913 and that marvelous U.S. Open Championship.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. We come across terms that were used in Flanders as early as the 15th century, the late 15th century, where we have a picture of the earliest depiction ever of putting to a hole, 1480, and we have the term colt, C-O-L-F, and later it turns up in the Dutch language, Flanders, of course, being a part of the Netherlands then, as K-O-L-F. And we suspect, I think correctly, that the word was simply brought over through marriage, through visits, through trade fairs, and so on to Scotland, where they interpreted the C or the K as a G in the Scottish. So that's where the word itself came from.
Richard, a question for you.
Just a minute, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll pass it over.
Okay. Richard, yes, my question for you really is, it's not even a myth or a legend. It is known that the home of modern golf, as we call it, is the old course at St. Andrews in Scotland.
Yes.
which is to me, and I've had the privilege of playing that course, or should I say, it's had the privilege of eating me up. And is that true? Did golf really begin the modern game of golf as we know it? Did it begin on that actual piece of ground?
Well, I think it. We think it did, but of course we're basing that on the fact that the first iconographical evidence that we have of any picture that we have of golf, modern golf, being played anywhere in Scotland, whether it's on the coast or whether it's inland, is the picture of St. Andrews on the old course, which is dated approximately, no one knows exactly when, but it's dated to 1740. And that is a picture which starts our chapter on modern golf in Scotland as played on the links. Now, of course, St. Andrews are coastal links, and the book also shows the first town map ever produced in England. I say that England, in fact, is in the British Isles. It was produced in 1580 by a man called Geddes, and that is a town plan of St. Andrews. And on it, you'll see in the book that the coastal link is up in the top left-hand corner.
Which is where it should be.
Which is, exactly that's where it should be, although, of course, the man who drew the map, it's a manuscript map, it's not a printed map, he didn't know that, although golf has surely been played there. But not in the form that we know it. I mean, people just knocking balls around with sticks, as far as involved in Europe. But that is a very interesting plan. Geddes, in fact, was a spy for Queen Elizabeth. He was sent up by Queen Elizabeth at the time that we had this religious problem with Calvin and Knox. And Geddes was a student at, was a student at St. Andrews University. Even in those days, back in the early 16th century, it was a famous university.
Yeah, and it's not too far from the golf course. If you've ever been there, it's a... St. Andrews is a small town in the county of Fife in
yeah.
Scotland, a little bit north, almost due north of Edinburgh,
yeah.
And St. Andrews is, the golf course is one of the great landmarks, which is now five golf courses, and the University of St. Andrews, the college, is the other big landmark of the town.
Exactly. And in fact, if you look at the map, you'll see all those features. Even though it dates back to the 16th century, all those features are clearly marked on the town plan, including where the golf course should be. And I've no doubt the golf course is played there in some form or other. But the only real pictorial record that we have of modern golf being played in Scotland is, as I've said, there's a picture which sits in the St. Andrews Golf Club, dated 1740, of, Foursome, isn't it, Michael? In the Royal and Ancient Club. Is it a foursome? It's a foursome, yeah. A foursome playing. We've tried to date it more accurately than the club has attempted to do so by referring the picture to some of the top experts in Europe on costume. And they're all emphatic that it's about mid-18th century. But it's a very nice picture, and we've displayed it as best we can in the book. Of course, there are other wonderful pictures of the course, more modern surveys of the course in that chapter of Scotland, and in particular some wonderful views, watercolors included, of St. Andrews.
You probably
noticed them.
Yes, I did. I happened to see that when I saw the book. Gentlemen, we are running out of time.
I can imagine.
I have enjoyed this conversation incredibly. We're talking with, that was Richard Leach, who also of Michael Flannery. They've written a book, and that's a bad word. They have put together a massive project called Golf Through the Ages, 600 Years of Golfing Art. It's available from the Golf Links Press. And again, the 800 phone number is 800-449-4097, 800-449-4097. For more information on the book, you can visit www.golfthroughtheages.com. It is exactly as it is spelled. Gentlemen, this is indeed a pleasure. I wish you a great deal of success with the book. And sometime, maybe after the release, we can get you guys on again to talk more about this, because This is obviously a subject that you have a great passion for and a great deal of knowledge for, and I'd love to have more of an opportunity for you to share this passion and knowledge with our audience.
Well, Bill, thank you very much indeed for your kind comments. I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
We are both great fans of America. We both worked in America, both lived in America, and we love the place. It's a pity that we can't be there more often. If I can end on a frivolous note, the only thing that divides us, you and us over here, is a common language.
That's a good one. I like that. Michael.
It's not me. It's the famous quotation from Winston.
I know. I know. I've heard that.
I'm sure you do. Can I pass you just over to Michael quickly?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Michael, it's just tremendous talking to you. It was a privilege for me to listen to just you talk about this great book and a game that I, as well as many Americans, have a passion for.
Well, that's terrific. Well, thank you very much for presenting it, Joel. We're delighted to share what we've learned over the last 15 years with your audience and the American people who made the game what it is today.
Good luck, gentlemen. Have a great holiday weekend, and enjoy and keep up the good work.
Will do. Thank
okay.
you, Joel.
Thank you.
Goodbye, then.
And that's what you give to the guy who has everything, if you can afford it. But what a great book. I had a chance to look at it. It is tremendous.